Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, Dennis Pitzenbarger, and so forth. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, the official president, prophet, seer, and revelator of the Rick Emerson Show, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
In the ready where you are, there's a floodwaters in effect for the Clackamas River in Estacada. It's all you Estacadans. You've been warned.
Like they have radios there.
I don't think so.
The crank-up ones.
Really, unless you print the warning on the back of, like, a camel pack. Nobody there is ever going to see that. Doesn't matter. So it's the first day back to school after the holiday in Tacoma, and some kid got shot. A gunshot wound. Apparently, one student shot another at Foss High School in Tacoma.
It is Tacoma, though.
Mm-hmm. The injured student is a male, and police are searching for the suspect. They know who it is. No word on the condition of the injured student.
You can't hide.
This high school has about 1,700 students and was locked down for a short time. Students have been released and told to return to their empty homes.
Return to your bombed-out homes.
By the way, Tacoma's a bad place. Secondly, Tacoma's a terrible place. Thirdly, my brother, God love him, trying to make the world a happier place for tykes of all ages. My brother is a school psychologist in bam Tacoma. So I did my best to talk him out of it. And this is the brother. I just went to his wedding. It is last year and so forth. And I, you know, we're going to be building our happy home in Tacoma. And I was like, why would you possibly move to Tacoma? And he said, no, it's not as bad as it used to be. Things are really looking up there. It's a great place. It's on the comeback. Clearly, that's not so much true as it is untrue.
I don't even know what school they teach. Well, let's hope it's not this one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Kids don't learn up there anyway.
Seriously, I mean, all you learn in Tacoma is to try to be born someplace better the next time around. That's the only lesson. The only lessons one learns there are karmic lessons. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the controversy over the execution of Saddam Hussein is being played down by Tony Snow. He said it wasn't as bad as people think.
You're asking me, would we have done things differently? Yes, we would have. But that's not our decision. That's the government of Iraq decision.
How exactly is it the government?
It's a bunch of cubicles.
Seriously.
But in a green zone surrounded by our soldiers, and that's called the government of Iraq.
But most of the cubicles are empty. That's the thing. Let me see real quickly if I can. I won't read the whole thing, but let me see if I can just find this article, if it's still on the front page of Yahoo. No, it looks like it's gone. That's too bad. I don't know if you saw this article. There was a... It was on the front page of Yahoo.com this morning, and it was the guy who is the prime minister of Iraq. Mm-hmm. And
well, he has one of the bigger cubicles,
and he just hates his life.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, I would not wish this job upon my worst enemy. Every day is worst day of my life. If you could just make me think that I am fishing or something all day, I would really appreciate. Plus, I think Anne is cheating on me. You know, it's like the guy is just...
Well, they did buy him his own shredder. And he has the ceremonial sash.
But, yeah, so blah, 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 the government of Iraq. The government of Iraq, which I'm pretty sure is us.
It's an independent country.
Uh-huh.
It's independent cubicles.
The government's independent from us the way that King Friday was independent of Mr. Rogers. And so... But these hideous guys, were like, you, Saddam, ha-ha, your mother sold socks that smell. Get on the platform. Those guys, man, it was just a bad... When he says we would have done... What does he say?
You're asking me, would we have done things differently? Yes, we would have. But that's not our decision. That's the government of Iraq.
No, we wouldn't have hung it.
When he says that it doesn't look as bad, it's not as bad as it seems. I mean, really, how could it be worse? Like, in what possible way? I mean, I guess if they had just put him inside a bag filled with fire ants or something before they hung him, I guess it could have been worse. But it doesn't really seem like it was a fun way to go. But what are you going to do?
Saddam was treated fairly.
Okay.
His courtesy has always had been to his U.S. military police guards.
In a courteous manner.
Sure. His characterization did change at the prison facility when the Iraqi guards were assuming control of him.
The best part was when they were dancing around him and kicking his corpse. That was the most fair part of all. I can't believe I'm actually sitting here defending the treatment of Saddam Hussein, but really, let's just call a spade a spade. That's not a smooth exit to one's life.
Even the Russians could have done better. Major General William Caldwell, who's in charge of U.S. forces in Iraq, says he had no role in Saddam's hanging. They only gave Saddam to the Iraqi government.
It's interesting because there seems to be a lot of concern about the last 2 minutes of Saddam Hussein's life and less about the first 69 in which he murdered hundreds of thousands of people. That's why he was executed.
Well, that's the thing about that that doesn't make any sense. Who is that, Lindsay Lohan over there?
What, with the boobs?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That would be Saddam Hussein.
I was just going to say. No, the thing about this... I'm sorry. A little thing there going on. The thing
sorry,
about Saddam...
I might have given that to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The thing about... The thing... Let me get a running start at this.
Take two.
You I'm going to go wash my hands.
You know, the thing about Saddam Hussein, is that, and I was mentioning this to Lisa Goddard, that they tried him for killing, I mean, it really is just so relative, like, when you put it this way, but he was convicted of this one, I don't even know what they, who the people were that he got convicted of killing, I don't know, his neighbors or something, some guy's dog whizzed on his lawn, but he was convicted. This is just so surreal. This is one of those days where everything's hilarious to me. Even things that really shouldn't be hilarious. So I can't believe I'm about to say this. But really, he was convicted on this much lesser offense.
Of loitering?
He was convicted on this much lesser offense of killing 180 people. Which just sounds retarded now that I'm actually forming those words out loud. Like, really, when you say convicted of a lesser offense, it's like... possession instead of intent to distribute. Mm-hmm. You know, convicted of a lesser... speeding instead of reckless endangerment. Normally, a lesser offense does not involve killing in the triple digits. But, so he was convicted of this much lesser offense of killing 157 people, I think. Which really, that's like, that would take me all year to do. But I guess that was just like one... that was a morning's work for him. That was the first day in his Franklin Covey. But then they never convicted him for killing like the 5,000 Kurds, and so she says that the Kurds are glad to see him gone, which I imagine they are. But it's got to stick in your Kurdish craw a little bit. That you know the 5,000 people. Well, we won't bother to try him for that. Let's just kill him for this parking ticket thing over here. All right. Well, in any event.
Well, Saddam was dignified while in U.S. custody before he was handed over to the Iraqis, and well, something went awry.
He got justice. This is a man who killed hundreds of thousands. And was executed for it, according to the laws of the country, and in accordance with legal traditions that admit international scrutiny.
Okay. Whatever you say. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Good day to you.
Hello. Yes.
I just wanted to speak briefly about the Rocky Five there, if I may.
Okay.
I caught part of Rocky Five, and I just want to say Rocky Five is... got to be equal to the Karate Kid with the overweight Ralph Macchio, or even the Karate Kid with no Ralph Macchio.
I'm sorry. Right, no. First of all, let's back the hell up because Karate Kid 2 is a fantastic film. Karate Kid 2 is great.
No, that was good.
Karate Kid 2 is great. There's no. So when you say Rocky 5 is equal to Karate Kid 2, are you saying that Karate Kid 2 is bad or that Rocky 5 was great?
Well, I'm saying that Daniel-san there packed on a little bit there from the end of Karate Kid 1 to Karate Kid 2, and he really wasn't himself. He wasn't his fit, I'm just saying.
No, it's true. The boy became a man. That is true.
And that happens to all of us, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But then the next Karate Kid, you know, just was crap, in my opinion.
Oh, Karate Kid 3 is terrible, yeah.
You know, no Daniel-san. But I wanted to leave you with a Seinfeld quote, if I may.
Yeah.
It also references Risk.
Okay.
Ukraine is weak.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
There you go. Karate Kid 2 is great. We can all agree on that. Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid is great. It's a fine film. Itself a retelling of many popular myths.
It's a classic of American cinema.
It really is. Now, I know you're saying that to be sarcastic.
No, I'm not.
And mean.
I believe it.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, because sometimes sincere Tim Riley sounds like mean Tim Riley.
No.
Sometimes.
There's no meanness in my bones.
Well, maybe not on this. Maybe not on this subject. Maybe you're saving it for some story later. Karate Kid is a great film. And it especially, you know, when you put it in the larger context of all those, the Joseph Campbell myths of the pupil who meets the teacher and then blah, 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 fights the great adversary. And it's like a Luke Yoda kind of a thing. And not unlike Rocky itself, actually. And then Karate Kid 2 is great because that's where he goes to Japan, and then Mr. Miyagi has to fight his ancient nemesis, and he has that discussion with the, and he falls in love with the hot Asian chick, and so forth. What happened to Elizabeth? Did they ever explain what happened to what's her guy? Is it Elizabeth Shue? No, it's not Elizabeth Shue. It's, Lee, is it Leah Thompson? Who's the chick in Karate Kid that Ralph Macchio falls in love with? It's Leah Thompson, isn't it? Well, whatever. I don't think they ever explained. I spent way too much time talking about this. And then Karate Kid 4 with Hilary Swank was crap. Greg, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I'm a huge fan of the program.
Thank you.
My wife knows this because I go home every day and try to tell her of the show, and she thinks I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I'm sure she finds that fascinating.
She really does. Well, for Christmas, she blessed me with a Rick Emerson radio program T-shirt. And I know she really cares because I'm a fat bastard. She had to pay $3 for the extra material.
Bam! which shirt did she get you?
I survived the unpleasantness.
Right on. Excellent. What's her name?
Her name is Janelle.
Thank you, Janelle. God bless you.
And so I was wondering if I might, instead of ambushing you and showing up as you're leaving, I thought I might maybe drop by and see if I could get an autograph, and I'd be willing to buy that from you by bringing vodka or something about it.
Instead of just crawling through my window at night and thrusting the pen into my hand.
Or bring in the tape for a weekend audition.
I don't go to Southeast at night.
You really think this is the best way to get me to sign something by insulting the quadrant in which I live, insulting my hood? Tim had a fair point. What you might want to do is stop bathing and then clutch a poorly produced demo tape and stand in the lobby every week and try to bother me with your lackluster program that you think would be fascinating and compelling for the audience.
I thought I'd suck up to you by having my wife buy a $27 t-shirt.
I think that works.
Well, of course, it would be wrong and inappropriate of me to accept any gift in exchange for that. You stop by and we'll give you the 2 cent tour before we change buildings, and we'll all sign it. Stop by sometime right after the show, and we'll give you a tour and a sign in, sir.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you for listening. Thank your wife for buying that.
All right, man.
All right, there you go. Thank you. There you go. That's Greg. All right, that's where that meanness was. It was waiting. It was laying in wait. It was waiting in the tall grass for a call like that, so you could make that comment, Tim Riley. I know that. I know.
I'm just stating facts.
I know. You really are. That's the sad thing about it.
It's not an attitude-y thing.
Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
So getting back to this Prime Minister of Iraq,
oh, yeah,
who really wants to quit his job,
Al-Maliki,
says he has arrested the person who he thinks made the cell phone recording of Saddam being hanged. In the past few hours, the government has arrested the person who made the video of Saddam's execution, says his advisor. Oh, so he has a spokesman, too.
I bet the spokesperson is just him with a different voice. I bet he gets on the phone and...
So, and now with more, my spokesperson will tell you of great status of country of Iraq. And
he just wears a different hat.
And then he just hold on and goes, so, yes, things are wonderful, and the Prime Minister is a great man who is advancing us into 21st century.
We are waiting for the glorious days of tomorrow.
Yes, it's true.
Yes, it's true.
All right.
All right.
I just became Senior Wences there.
That was compelling.
Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hello.
I just wanted to give you a definitive answer on the Karate Kid.
Okay.
Elizabeth Shue.
It is Elizabeth Shue. It's not Leah Thompson. All right. Elizabeth, boy, goddamn, she was hot. I mean, probably still is. Wherever she is now, she's probably still hot. But, boy, she was... And then she was leaving Las Vegas. Now, was she also the Adventures in Babysitting Girl? Was that her?
And Cocktail and many other movies.
Cocktail,
yeah. But yeah, she started dating some guy in the Navy or something. He exploded like in the first 5 minutes of the Karate Kid. He came with the second movie because he came in all mad and hot and bothered about it. And then Mr. Miyagi said, "Well, you get to stay here now."
See, and that's don't you hate that when you? I mean, that makes me sound like a sissy, but don't you hate that when you're watching a movie? And then in the first 5 minutes, they got to, like, explain away all of the characters who didn't show up for the sequel. Especially when it's, like, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. They got to do a whole lot of, well, we were in love together, and then he was eaten by a whale. You know, and then it's done, moved on. You know, Elizabeth Shue, boy, she was just scorching. It's too bad she didn't come back for that. She's just scorchingly gorgeous. I was just watching Deconstructing Harry the other day, and she's in that. And just about as perfect as you could get. All right, excellent. Thank you, sir. All right, that's Ken.
That's Ken! Give me taco kisses.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, it's just about time for Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats to take over Congress. The president says voters gave them a message.
People want to end the secretive process by which Washington insiders are able to get billions of dollars directed to projects, many of them pork barrel projects, that have never been reviewed or voted on by the Congress.
So we need more pork, apparently.
The best part about that is that he clearly himself is no longer a Washington insider. So he's sort of... No. I get the feeling he doesn't even really have the key to his office anymore. He just sort of stands outside. And so it's like when you forget your pass key here. Somebody has to let you in.
Going on to me.
Yes.
The president says voters made a statement to Congress on Election Day.
We've all been entrusted with public office at a momentous time in our nation's history. And together we have important things to do. It's time to set aside politics and focus on the future.
Together we have important things to do. That's, you are not, George, we've made some plans while you were gone. We've restructured some things. You're no longer part of the plans. This, Rick, it was Elizabeth Shue and Karate Kid, and they say, yeah, she dumped him at the beginning of 2. See, why do you got to screw with that? Why do they have to do that? Where they start Karate Kid 2 by, and she was a whore! You know, it's just terrible. And then Elizabeth Shue replaced Leah Thompson in Back to the Future. I'm so confused. Is that true? So Elizabeth Shue left the Karate Kids, it's like 40 years after the fact, and I'm trying to figure this out. So Elizabeth Shue left Karate Kid, that series, and then she in turn replaced Leah Thompson in the Back to the Future series. Well, we're just going to say that's the case. I don't care if it's true or not. We're going to say that from now on, that is the official party line of the Rick Emerson Show. That's exactly how everything happened.
There you go. And now let's take a little break from the unpleasantness of the day to hear Henry Kissinger speak.
Gerald Ford.
It's like he swallowed several cheese graters. Okay, I got to brace myself for this. This is like, I wish we still had those Jack Klugman sound bites. All right. I'm sorry, I didn't know those were coming. Let's just gird our loins
without
here.
Without warning.
It's like hearing Treebeard try to give a eulogy.
Never heard of a hobbit.
Gerald Ford's prudence and common sense kept ethnic conflicts in Cyprus and Lebanon from spiraling into regional war. He presided over the final agony of Indochina with dignity and wisdom.
It just hurts to hear him speak. It's like when he speaks, it's like his mouth weighs 10,000 pounds and he can't, it's all he can do to just get his mandibles to work enough to, you know, it takes all of my, I can't do his voice, but it's like it takes everything in him to even make his mouth work properly to form the vowel sounds. Good God almighty. Okay. How old is Henry Kissinger and why isn't he, and I say this out of strict scientific curiosity, why isn't he dead? I wish him a long life. Mm-hmm. I don't understand physically speaking. It seems like his body should have given out on him so long ago. All right.
He's waiting for his appointment at the pearly gates.
Yeah, I'm sure that's where his appointment is.
He's waiting patiently.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's absolutely where Henry Kissinger's going.
It's a long wait.
Yeah, just no hurry. Okay.
The president's new Iraq strategy is, quote, not done yet, but it is fairly far along, end quote, according to the White House. And no one should start an office pool over whether the new strategy is going to be unveiled and what the president will spell out. The BBC has reported that President Bush will call for a U.S. troop surge in Iraq in a speech next week. Pressed about the time frame, Tony Snow said, soon.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Tony. I appreciate that.
ABC has a new comedy for underachieving middle-agers everywhere.
Oh,
in case of emergency is based on the point in some people's lives, say when they're divorced, they can no longer know who to put down as their emergency contact. This is far-fetched, isn't it? Star Jonathan Silverman, remember him from Weekend at Bernie's, among other things?
Oh, my God, really?
He's still alive. A little bit bloated, but old. He says many viewers will identify him with the show's characters.
Gerald Ford.
I'm sorry, that was a mistake.
And coming to-
He really has aged.
It's a compelling sitcom about what happens when...
I wish I could do Henry Kissinger's voice. There's just so much comedy there. I'm sorry, Tim. This is who?
Jonathan Silverman, yeah.
It's a little raunchy, but it's also very relatable, describing the way that so many people my age feel when life just doesn't turn out the way you thought it would.
Boy, that doesn't sound at all like a pre-prepared statement that he was given by some hack in marketing. This is something, okay, here's what you... And listen, when he even does that, well, as though he's speaking off the cuff, have you ever heard a less casual off the cuff, well?
It's a little raunchy, but it's also very relatable, describing the way that so many people my age feel when life just doesn't turn out the way you thought.
Boy, shades of Richard Cheese in that delivery. Seriously, yeah, that's a whole lot of... Kids, I'd like to play a song for you that means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to you, too. All right. Yeah, let's make... What channel is that on?
I don't know.
What network?
I just threw the story away. ABC.
Oh, good. Well, screw that. Don't watch that.
That's going to be terrible.
Don't watch it.
On at 9:30 Eastern time.
Doesn't matter. No one's ever going to see it. And so, you know what looks kind of interesting is that new Donal Logue show, the Knights of Prosperity. That looks a little interesting. Looks like it might be terrible.
They're trying to kidnap Mick Jagger.
Yeah, that looks like a... And Mick Jagger's in it, which is what's great. It's a sitcom about a bunch of guys who are just like a bunch of fat losers who decide that they're gonna make money, and their money-making plan is to kidnap Mick Jagger. I mean, and it's a sitcom. That's a pretty great idea for a sitcom. I just don't know how long you could possibly stretch that plot line out, but, you know, what do I know? All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the TriMet driver found a furry friend riding on his bus. The bus was running its usual route when it came to an end on the line on Northeast Sandy Boulevard. The last passenger stepped off the bus when the driver reminded her not to forget her dog. But the dog didn't belong to the woman, and how he got on the bus remains unknown. The friendly brown-eyed pooch has no tags or microchip identification, and nobody knows who the dog belongs to. He was taken by a Portland police officer to the Oregon Humane Society. The staff has nicknamed the mixed breed dog Buster. They speculate the dog may have escaped from his home and attached himself to a group of people waiting at a bus stop. When everyone boarded, so did Buster. He's a short-haired, young mixed breed, pit bull mix, predominantly light brown in color with white markings on his chest and nose. He is friendly to strangers and likes to chew on toys.
Fantastic. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
I was going to say, Leah Thompson was in all three Back to the Futures as Marty's mother or ancestor, and then Elizabeth Shue was always his girlfriend or wife in all three movies.
Okay, so Leah Thompson was his sister or ancestor in all three movies, and then who was the girlfriend?
I think it was Elizabeth Shue, but she was in, they were all, the personnel never changed in all three movies, they just played different people as the times dictated.
So it was Elizabeth Shue in the first Karate Kid, and then in all of the Back to the Future films.
Yeah, she was his girlfriend, and then aged wife in the second one, and then back to girlfriend in the third one, and then Leah Thompson was his mother in all three, as well as his ancestor, once back in the Old West.
Really is difficult. You know, that's a series, I gotta say this though, that's a movie series that still holds up. You sit and you watch all three Back to the Futures back to back. Even the third one, which is a little hokey because of the Western thing and because ZZ Top is in it. That's a movie series. You can watch that all the way through, and it's not bad at all. It's solid. It's a solid movie series.
I also have a serial killer movie recommendation for you, since I know that's what you guys are really into.
Yes.
HBO, older HBO movie called Citizen X.
Citizen X. I've seen that. It's about the Russian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm...
With, Donald Sutherland, the guy that plays Mr. Finch in Viva Vendetta.
Yeah. Citizen X is great. And Citizen X, again, it's a true story about a Russian serial killer. And he is actually, if I'm correct, is he not the most prolific serial killer in history?
Yeah, I think so, since the Soviet Union never acknowledged that serial killers. It was a decadent Western thing, so they
of course
never stopped until...
He's got the record. That came out a long time ago, though, didn't it?
Yeah, '90s, maybe late '80s.
I gotta watch it again then, because I'm glad you called and reminded me, because I've only ever seen it once, and I want to see that again. HBO makes some fantastic. Citizen X. Yeah, thank you for reminding me of that. I gotta watch that again. Excellent
movie.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, that's Chris. All right, there you go. You know the weird thing about, I'm like the millionth guy to comment on this, is the weird the incest thing in those Back to the Future movies is just kind of weird. I wonder if they would even include that in those movies now. It just is a little strange.
Okay, so this says that Elizabeth Shue wasn't in the first movie, but she was replacing Claudia Wells, who played his girlfriend in the first one.
But then
she was unable to reprise it, and Elizabeth Shue played in the second and third one.
So the first movie... So Elizabeth Shue was in the first Karate Kid, but not the others. She's in the other Back to the Future, but not the first one, supposedly. And then Claudia Wells was Marty McFly's girlfriend in the first one?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, too, because I don't remember it being Elizabeth Shue. And I think I would remember that, because I was always, I always had, like, a thing for her. She was really, really beautiful. All right. Okay, that's all very confusing. Let's quit talking about it now. Let's pretend that we've come up with a definitive answer. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, guess who ruled the music radio airwaves in 2006? It was Mary J. Blige. And according to the survey, now, they named the top 20 radio hits not by sales anymore, because apparently nobody's buying enough of these. They choose these as total audience and not millions, but billions. Don't ask me how they figured this out. But 3.4 billion people listened to Mary J. Blige last year in music.
How do they even calculate that?
I don't know. It's kind of weird anyway.
It's made up is what it is.
It's made up. This comes from the Nielsen BDS, Electronic Airplay Monitoring of Radio Stations in All Formats, and Arbitron Radio Listening Estimates. These are estimates. Justin Timberlake's pair of hits this past year, Sexy Back and My Love, were number one for 4 weeks, but came out too late in the year to make the top ten.
Boy, you just want to see that guy beaten with hammers.
That's a terrible song.
Sexy Back.
It can even be called a song.
No, it really is terrible.
Spliced together noise is what I call it.
I call it clap trap. That doesn't make any sense. How are they?
It's total audience in billions. So it's not done with sales anymore.
So Mary J. Blige
has 3.4 billion listeners.
But what does that even mean? Is it someone, and I realize I'm asking you this and you don't know, but is that like heard it once?
It doesn't say.
Or is that people who act, like, is that if you actively sought out the song to listen to? Like, if you actively went online and listened to it, or you got it on demand? They don't have, like, the box anymore, but if they had, like, on-demand videos or something. Or is that just, like, if it was, like, if I'm wandering through a Nordstrom and I'm assaulted by Mary J. Blige, does that count as having listened to that?
Probably so. And how do they figure this out?
What company is this?
This is a combination that...
I don't care about Mary J. Blige, so let's move on.
Meanwhile, Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz have split, according to recent rumors. This from Star Magazine.
Wait for it. Justin Timberlake is bringing Single back. Yeah. No, you know that's going to be in the paper like tomorrow. Justin Timberlake brings Single back. Bam, and it'll be one word, Single back.
We happen to know the couple spent the holidays apart with 34-year-old Diaz in Vail, Colorado, and 25-year-old Timberlake near Memphis, Tennessee. Timberlake was also said to overheard telling friends at a local club, quote, "Me and Cameron, we're done."
All right. Well, that's it. I don't ever understand what he was doing with her anyway. Maybe she's got a sterling personality, but I don't think so. Because she seems really cranky.
Maybe David Spade wasn't available.
She seems really cranky and unlikable, and, I mean, whatever I think of Justin Timberlake, that guy could clearly be doing better. I was watching Any Given Sunday with Al Pacino this weekend, and she's in that, and she's just weird and ruddy looking. It's like someone has just... She always looks like someone has given her face a good slapping or two. You know what I mean? Like, it's all kind of red and swollen.
Wait till HDTV comes.
Oh, see, I can't... I mean, I've already seen some photos of her online where they catch her on a beach without makeup. And look, not like I'm any prize. But I mean, nobody's paying to look at my face on a TV screen either. But yeah, I see her, and it really is like someone has just used her face for a speed bag.
Let's do one more, and then we'll break. Apparently, George Michael's New Year's Eve celebration was as good as it gets, with a huge amount of cash in his pockets. It's been said that Michael was paid $2.2 million for a 75-minute private concert on New Year's Eve. The singer performed 13 songs at Russian billionaire Vladimir Putin's New Year's Eve party on Sunday. Putin, who is the ninth richest man in Russia, is said to have personally asked Michael to perform and paid him cash. A source tells...
You suppose that's wise?
Apparently, it was a closed party only for the closest friends of Mr. Putin, and there are a lot of officials and wealthy Russian individuals.
What's his name?
Putin.
There was no, they didn't bother to write the headline like, "For Putin, the hits."
No.
Putin on the hits.
Well, this huge fee works out to $31,510 a minute, the largest sum paid to an artist for a single performance, and Michael didn't take to the stage until 3 o'clock in the morning. He also stayed at one of Moscow's top hotels.
Yeah, all right. If I were them, I would never pay that guy in cash. There's certain people that you give half the check to, like you tear the check in half.
He's probably gone by now.
I was just going to say, he spent half it on drugs and dropped the rest down a drain somewhere by mistake. Rick, Elizabeth Shue, yes, Adventures in Babysitting. And she was hot, especially in the opening where she's dancing to And Then He Kissed Me. The last movie she was truly hot in was Leaving Las Vegas. Boy, she was really unbelievably hot in that movie. Boy, Leaving Las Vegas, that is, boy, that's a creepy, depressing film. But boy, she's unbelievably hot in that. Yeah, she really is a... just going to say that I got a thing for hookers, but she, no, I mean, in films, like a well-done hooker character is pretty great, if they're done right, and she really plays, she's probably the best screen hooker ever. I can't think of a better screen hooker in a movie, except for possibly Jamie Lee Curtis in Trading Places, but I think Elizabeth Shue still got
it. Sharon Stone's just a, like, junkie. She isn't a... hooker in Casino, is she?
Well, she's a hustler. There's sort of a difference. She's sort of a gold digger. And so forth. And it's not really a hooker as such. Not like a this is the right up front kind of a hooker.
It's not like a lingerie show.
Yes. Exactly. Whatever are you referring to, Tim?
Nothing in particular.
Let's take a break now, shall we? Coming up later on, next hour, we'll talk to a CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. In the 2 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Fuel Show. When we return, we have more of Tim Riley. At the Ministry of Truth, go nowhere.
Yes, tonight we stand, the fighter we fall. Together, we can send Paul. Brothers that try to work it out to get red. Revolt, revive, realize this.
All right, 503-733-2970. Rick, Timmy is evil. I can prove it. Just say the words mountain climber to him. They ever find those guys? No. No, of course
not.
No. Rick. Rick, I have only three words for you. The three words are bloody meat treat. Okay.
I know who that's from.
I don't even know what it means, and I don't want to know. I don't want it explained. I don't want it explicated. I like the fact that you're cringing. Bloody meat treat. I don't want to know. I'm just going to keep saying it. Is that anything like mama sauce?
I'm sure it's in the same vicinity.
Fantastic, so to speak. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Dick Iuliano. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, man. What's going on?
What's up?
Oh, I would actually call about distributing for Visa. I tried it because you had been promoting it on your show.
Yeah. No, and you tried it. Are you a fan, sir?
I am now officially a fan.
Excellent. God bless you. What's your favorite flavor?
Currently, it's Vigor.
Yeah, see, Vigor is good. Vigor, actually, I will say, is a little too tart for some people. Our friend Justin actually tried that, and he said that he likes the Will, but the Vigor actually was too citrusy. He said it was just a little too much snap in it for him. But it is great.
It's weird. I actually found it exactly opposite. Will was a little too, I don't know, I guess tangy for me, where I found Vigor just absolutely delicious.
Excellent. Cool. Excellent.
And I've been hunting all over Vancouver, and there's only one place. It's a Millplain 7-Eleven. Over on the east side, right off of the 205, where you can buy it. But nowhere else yet has it, and I was calling to ask where the distributor is so I could talk about other stores and say, hey, you know, start carrying this stuff, get good.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do is I will put you on hold. I'll have Scotty get your information, and then we'll just kind of hook you up with the Visa people direct, and you can kind of, I don't know, you can have that conversation with them. So I'm going to put you on hold, Jesse. In the meantime, thank you. Glad you like it. Glad you try it. Thank you for listening, et cetera. And I will hand you over to the man called Scotty J now.
Fantastic.
All right, there you go. That's Scotty. Scotty, if you can just talk, just get his info, we'll put him in contact with Alex at Viso. Bada bing. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, public officials aren't losing any sleep over a prediction shared by a religious broadcaster, Pat Robertson.
Oh, wait. Should this be a religious nutcase watch? It probably should.
It probably should be.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your first religious nutcase watch for 2007.
On the 700 Club television show, Pat Robertson predicted that an attack on the U.S. would result in a mass killing during the second half of 2007. He cites communication with God in making that prediction. Preferring not to enter what he calls a religious debate, New Jersey Homeland Security Director Richard Canis sees it this way.
If he can predict the future, you know, good for him. We've never had a crystal ball to do that. Our office deals with reality, which is we have to be prepared for those big, huge mega disasters in case they do occur.
And his ads, a lot of people talk to the Almighty.
Yeah, Pat Robertson does this every year, by the way, where he predicts a bunch of crap and then none of it comes true. He does no better than average. And the thing is, he was predicting last, let's say, the end of 2005. Pat Robertson's whole thing was that tsunamis were going to kill everybody in America in 2006. That was, I forget what his actual phrase was, but he used the word tsunami, and then he was like, massive death and destruction in America in 2006. And it didn't have, what did happen is it sort of rained a lot in Florida, which he then pointed to as, see, I was partially correct. It's fantastic.
And there's a flood warning for Estacado.
Just so you know. Excellent. Is that our...
I guess this could go under it, too.
We have more? Fantastic.
Apparently so. As the new Congress is sworn in tomorrow, the first Muslim member of Congress will place his hand on the Quran.
Oh, I should have asked Lisa Goddard about that.
And this was once owned by Thomas Jefferson. Minnesota Democrat Keith Ellison has faced criticism for using a Quran instead of a Bible. Ellison will use this during the swearing-in ceremony with upcoming House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. But U.S. Senate Associate Historian Don Ritchie points out that the actual swearing-in happens when all House members raise their right hands at the same time in the Capitol chamber.
There is no requirement that you be sworn in on a Bible. In fact, when people are sworn in, they're only holding their hand up in the air. There's nobody to hold a Bible for them.
There ought to be some sort of a Muslim clothing company called Quranimals. Quranimals.
I like that.
There's your religious nutcase watch for Wednesday of the Rick Emerson. They like Quranimals, but then they're Muslims.
Because you guys mentioned this before the break, did a little research on the Knights of Prosperity, which will make its debut on television tonight. The series features a band of have-nots who decide to alter their fate by robbing legendary rocker Mick Jagger. The Knights of Prosperity star Daniel Logue, who plays a late-night janitor, says he can identify what an underachiever his character is.
I used to work from midnight to 8, cleaning robes at a hotel. I had plenty of those jobs. And you're hoping that at some point your luck will change and life will kind of, things will fall in your direction, but there's clearly no guarantee of that.
Danielle Logue's a guy who always seems like he's about to become really famous and then never does. He was in that movie The Tao of Steve, where everybody thought he was going to be a big breakthrough star. That didn't happen. And then he was in some comic book heist movie. That didn't happen. Then he was in Grounded for Life with Megan Price, and he didn't really become popular there. So he's one of those guys that just seems like he's like a Jeremy Piven type, where he's just kind of constantly on the cusp of stardom. Speaking of Jeremy Piven, I was watching Entourage reruns this weekend, season 3. Boy, that just continues to be just the best comedy on television. I can't wait for that to come back.
Well, few people can sing like Whitney Houston, but next week anyone can hear anyone with some spare cash can dress like Whitney. Well, back in her heyday, not now. Right down to one of her black velvet bustiers and tune into one of her microphones. Those items and more than 300 others from a 1999 world tour include grand pianos, drum kits, and a forklift. Going to be auctioned off today in an effort to cover unpaid storage fees on the gear and clothing. The tour gear, which includes speakers, amplifiers, a vintage barber chair, along with designer clothes, are being stored in an Irvington warehouse since the tour. But the company's now owed $175,000 to $200,000 by Whitney.
I'm looking at this list of Whitney Houston things that are for sale at this auction. A forklift. How bizarre. I don't know. What would Whitney Houston... I mean, just let your mind wander, I suppose, why Whitney Houston would possibly need a forklift.
Well, that's probably before Doggy Sayers.
how sad. This is always the saddest thing. Whenever there's some celebrity auctioning off their crap, this is the saddest of all auction items right here. Anybody know what it is?
Some sort of undergarments?
No. I think those are on here, too, though. Lots of beaded pants on here. Mm-hmm. Who wants a Gianni Versace silkscreen print vest with rhinestones? Sassy. No, what they're just described as, quote, music awards. Numerous sets. Who will come by my awards? An Atelier Versace beaded catsuit. What else? an acrylic grand piano.
A beaded cat suit?
A beaded cat suit. That's what it says.
Why is there a church pew?
And then right here, that is, see, you have an eye for detail, Tim Riley. Right here in the front, featured item, church pew. Which is right behind, it's literally, it's on here between between Roland keyboard and snare drum. It's church pew.
That'll come in handy sooner than you think.
Now, you know, so you might actually want to keep that one around.
Yes.
Good God Almighty. I thought she was all like, wasn't she supposed to have like a comeback album right about now? Wasn't that the thing? Is she was all cleaned up and she's going to be...
They're still cleaning.
It requires sort of a deep clean,
mm-hmm.
sort of a taking everything apart and giving it a scrubbing and reassembling it kind of.
She had only ordered a basic cleaning.
Her new skin is still being flown in from somewhere else. But the thing is, she's sort of like Michael Jackson, though, where they keep. Like, she ought to just go away for, I mean, I guess she has, but when I say go away, I don't mean go away into a feces-smeared room to get high. I mean, like, she ought to go somewhere where no one can find her. Like Garth Brooks, as much as, you know, I'm not a country fan, Garth Brooks totally did, because he retired, and I think he stayed retired, hasn't he? He didn't tour, he didn't put out records anymore, right. Which is great. And you know why? Because Garth Brooks is going to have, and mark my words on this, he will have the biggest comeback tour in the history of commerce. Like 5, 7, 8 years. Not, it won't be 10, but like 5, 7, 8, 9 years. Garth Brooks will do a comeback tour, and it'll be the most successful tour in history. I'm telling you that right now. I will stake my bottom dollar on that. But if you don't go away, people can never learn to miss you. And they keep doing this thing with Whitney Houston like they do with Michael Jackson, where you go away, stay locked in a room for 15 years, come back, and then everybody will embrace you again. Whereas Michael Jackson, he was at the Latin, was on the television this weekend, and he's spinning around like a dreidel in front of James Brown's coffin. He just doesn't make any... Well, I'm glad Michael...
I missed that one.
He
should have showed up at Gerald Ford's funeral. He got more face time.
Should have done a whole tour.
With the Nancy Reagan glasses?
Yeah, it's like I'm flipping by and, you know, watching all the news coverage. And, boy, you know, I'm glad that Michael Jackson has taken our advice and gone away. And then you flip by and there's James Brown's coffin and Michael Jackson's in front of it going, woo! And, like, spinning around.
Now, had he delivered a Gerald Ford eulogy, he might have gotten a little more out of that.
It just doesn't make any sense at all. So there you go. So you can be buying a church pew from Whitney Houston's house. Good times.
Well, she needs a good pressure cleaning.
She really does. She just looks like a bad sidewalk. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, look who's coming back. The pilot pickup season began in earnest today with NBC greenlighting 3 one-hour projects, including a new take on The Bionic Woman. The original series, a spinoff from The $6 Million Man, starred Lindsay Wagner as a woman whose body is mechanically enhanced to save her life. It ran on ABC, then NBC for 3 seasons in the mid-70s. The NBC order is contingent on casting. The other pilots for NBC are for a cop show and a spy dramatic series.
It doesn't really seem like there's a lot of call to be bringing back the Bionic Woman.
No.
It seems like if they're going to be doing anything, they ought to be bringing back Wonder Woman. That's a show that Wonder Woman, I'm telling you this right now, you mark my words, if they brought back Wonder Woman and did it right, that would be huge. Everybody'd watch that, because the lesbians need a new Xena. Guys love it because it's like a hot chick who's like tying up dudes and beating them and making them tell the truth, and you know. And then kids love it because it's a superhero. Geeks love it because they're geeks. They really ought to be focusing on Wonder Woman. And am I the only one? Okay, so am I the only one that remembered? Do you ever have this? Do you ever have? Do you ever have things you remember on television and you're not sure if they really happened? Or if you're just fabricating them. Or like sometimes this. Do you ever have television series that you remember and no one else remembers the show even being on? Tim Riley?
And I discovered it over the weekend on the Retro Channel.
See, look how we almost planned that out. We did not, but see, that's the
Well, that was going to be one of my talking points at some point.
Was
today.
It really?
Anyway, yes, it was.
Should we wait?
No, let's do it now.
Okay.
I came across on the Retro Channel, which is a channel that appeared out of nowhere without any promotion, the Green Hornet TV series, co-starring Bruce Lee from the 1960s, along with the Black Beauty, one of the greatest superhero cars ever.
Now, see, here's the thing about the Green Hornet TV series starring Bruce Lee, is that I know of that show, uh-huh. But I've never seen it.
Right.
I never in my life have seen an episode of that.
I barely remembered it, and I always remember the theme song, and all of a sudden it showed up this weekend on the Retro Channel.
Now, where is the Retro Channel?
It's Channel 500 something.
Oh, it's like way up there. I wonder if I get that. I wonder if I get that in the slum.
Oh, you must.
Well, you all in the suburbs get everything out there.
Well,
fresh air.
The
get your cars
is,
back.
The problem is, once you get something in the suburbs and you want it disconnect one thing, they'll disconnect everything you have. So you have no choice. It's all tied together. You will lose electricity and everything.
I'd like to get rid of the Bravo channel, and a guy just comes through with a power saw.
Yep.
And everything just cuts through your cat line, and everything's gone. Okay, the retro channel. I got to write that down. I'm surprised that channel hasn't happened.
No
earlier.
Commercials either.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Retro channel. Well, that's how those channels always start. MTV2 used to be that way, where there were no commercials. See, because the Green Hornet...
It only lasted for 2 seasons.
And I think I only know about the Green Hornet TV show because it's referenced in the movie Dragon, which is sort of a fictionalized version of Bruce Lee's life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they mentioned... Because, see, Bruce Lee... Now that we're just totally off track. Bruce Lee, well, this was going to be one of your talking points.
Yeah.
It really is a segue. That's the kind of hand-in-glove delivery this program has, the flawless execution that we have here on the Rick Emerson Show. Because Bruce Lee was supposed to be... Now, see, now I don't even know what came first. When was he in the Green Hornet? When did that come from?
This was from the same producers as Batman, so it was like 1967 to 68 or 9. It only lasted one or two seasons.
And then
and it's never been shown again.
And then Bruce Lee was supposed to be what's Kane in Kung Fu, which they then gave to a white man.
Which was really strange. Even to this day, it's really...
You go back and watch, look, I don't mean to knock on Kung Fu because it's a great show and all, but it really is bizarre when you go back and watch Kung Fu, and it's like the whitest white man you've ever seen in your life, and he's
speaking
all...
Speaking pidgin English.
And he's sort of, I will snatch pebble from hand and become Asian art master, and it's like, and it's the whitest guy you've ever seen. Big round eyes. All of his hair shaved off so you can't see that he's Caucasian. But that was supposed to be Bruce Lee. There's this great scene. I say great. In my memory, it's kind of funny, and I don't suppose it's meant to be funny, and it probably wasn't funny for Bruce Lee. It's funny now only because the whole concept is so retarded. But there's this great scene in the movie Dragon where Bruce Lee is, I'm in talk. They're going to put me in an American television series. I'm going to be a big star. You know, what's the name of the series? I think Kung Fu, starring me, Bruce Lee, you know. And then they just immediately cut to, like, 1 year later, and it's him sitting at home with his wife going, like, God damn it! Stupid white man, you know. And then cutting to the television screen, there's like big blue-eyed David Carradine, being Kane. So,
the thing is, nobody noticed.
No. It's, why would you?
Nobody questioned it. It wasn't a problem.
Stupid idiot America. Well, looks fine to me. Looks like a damn fine action hero. What with his big round eyes and blonde hair. He looks fine, just like our Jesus paintings. So that's if you are one of like the three people on earth who hasn't noticed that, the next time you watch Kung Fu, just take a good long look at that guy and ask yourself how Asian he really looks.
Wait. Where's my slur book?
All Chinese waiters are white. Played by David Carradine. I don't have it. So the Green Hornet must have come before that.
Yes.
Okay. See, here's another one. Here's a TV show, and I'm the only person I know that has ever heard of this show. And it was called, had a strange title. It was called No Soap Radio. And it was on ABC. And this is not like some weird boutique-y art series, because this was when I was growing up. This was in like 85, maybe, 84. And it was sort of like one of the airplane movies, like a lot of weird sight gags and a lot of like bizarre sort of surrealist things that happened. And it came on, and I loved it. I thought it was the best show I'd ever seen. It was hilarious to me. Again, it was very much like an airplane movie, just a lot of really like a lot of dumb verbal gags and so forth. And then it was on for like 6 weeks and then gone, vanished. And then I asked people, and I'm like, do you remember that show, No Soap Radio? And they just kind of get the blank Homer Simpson stare. That ought to be a whole... There should just be a channel, or maybe not a channel, but like this retro channel you're talking about. They could just do a whole series called, like, crap that you don't even remember. Stuff, shows only you remember. All right. Maybe somebody may see. Maybe somebody will call. See, because here's the other thing. I was thinking about this the other day. I was on the... I'm on Amazon.com. God love them. But, man, they just send you crap constantly. They just spam you. Them and Ticketmaster. And the ACLU. Well, I give money to it. Part of my... One of my civil liberties ought to be left alone by spammers. But Amazon.com sends me this stuff all the time. And it's like, you know, hello, Rick Emerson. Please sit down. Come buy this. And it's solicitations to buy things. They put out the most obscure shows on DVD. I mean, I think I would be hard-pressed. This could almost be a contest. I don't think we're giving anything away today. But this could almost be a contest where, like, you try to come up with a television show you remember that is not out on DVD. Because they put stuff out on DVD that, like, I can't even fathom there's any target audience for it. Just stuff that I can't even... Like, who really is out there buying the reruns of like, what's happening on DVD? Like, who...
Too soon.
Who... it's always going to be too soon. It's a bad show. I watched it. We all watched it. Doesn't mean it's good. It's a terrible... Here's another show that I used to watch. There was a sitcom I watched called In Trouble. There was three teenage girls, and they would always get into wacky hijinks, and one of them was, you know... One of them was slutty, and one of them was smart, and, like, one of them was dumb. And they were all 16... And then hilarity ensued every week. And then they learned a lesson, blah, 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 blah. I don't even really want to watch the show again. I'm just fascinated by the fact that I'm the only one I know who even remembers it. So, anywho. Well, let's... lots of Bruce Lee comments. Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick.
Hey, what's up?
You have saved my life by being back on the air. Many thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Well... the Bruce, it's funny, in China, the Green Hornet TV show is called the Kato Show. They had this, you know, angle on it that makes it like it was Bruce Lee was the star of the show, when in fact he wasn't.
So they just completely repositioned it there, and made him as though he were the star of the program.
Yeah, because in China he's a, you know, he's considered a god, and they made the title of the TV show the Kato Show because they didn't want to say it was some stupid American running around in a mask.
That's sort of like if this
Black Beauty.
That's like if this show was, you know, was broadcast at a Tiger, it would be the Scotty J program.
Exactly.
Yes, okay.
Hey, here's a bit of trivia for you. I know you probably don't care to hear this, but a bit of trivia that goes along with Green Hornet is that he was the cousin or nephew of the Lone Ranger. And there's so many parallels between the Green Hornet and the Lone Ranger, it's incredible.
I believe you're making this up.
No, I am not. I kid you not. I kid you not.
Is that why there's Kato in both of them?
Tonto.
Oh, no, Kato. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Tonto.
Tonto, Kato.
Kato did not ride along with the Lone Ranger.
the character of the Green Hornet, his name is Britt Reed. He's the cousin of Dan Reed. Dan Reed is the guy that was the Lone Ranger. So, and
Ranger's name was Dan?
Dan Reed was the name of the Lone Ranger.
Oh, okay.
And Britt Reed is the name of the Green Hornet. Yes.
Who even knew that the Lone Ranger had a name and that it would be like Dan? Sounds like a guy who works at a haberdashery.
Well, if you ask for his birth certificate, it does not say first name Lone, last name Ranger.
Yes, I suppose.
Well, Dan Reed was the actual name of the Lone Ranger, and Britt Reed was the name of the Green Hornet. And the horse... was, I can't remember, Silver was the name of the horse, and Black Beauty, which was the name of a horse in another show, but was the name of the name of the car, the Black Beauty.
Hey,
so,
the next time
there's a lot of parallels between the two shows. But anyway, Bruce Lee, the show was only on for one season, and it was done by the same people who made Batman. It was supposed to be a spinoff.
Yeah.
And so they made the show, you know, hopefully they would, you know, capitalize on the success and popularity of the stupid Batman TV show in the 60s. But, you know, it was a great show. It was one of my all-time favorite TV shows that I've ever seen.
There are a lot of those shows, actually, that were spin-offs of another, another show. Mm-hmm. And not even necessarily spin-offs, but just clearly meant to, you know, to mimic the style of...
Right.
Something else. Like, I'm trying to think of an example of that.
Joni Loves Chachi.
Joni Loves Chachi, but see, that's an actual spinoff. I'm trying to think of something that was just clearly a clone of something else. Mm-hmm. Like, but see, there's Friends, but this is sort of different, because Friends was a clone of Living Single. Living Single with Kim Fields, who was Tootie in The Facts of Life, and then Friends was a white spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
The white man doing what he always does, which is to take something that black people have created and then make it out and then much more successful financially.
By the way, if you were referencing another movie that you heard, that the theme of Kill Bill, they used the Green Hornet theme throughout the entire two parts of that movie.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me, because I know that Tarantino's a huge Green Hornet fan.
Oh, it's one of the TV shows of all time, and, you know, I just love the show. But they were actually going to make a movie of it with George Clooney. Oddly enough, before he did the Batman show, he turned down the lead role in the Green Hornet movie to do Batman, and then they were going to offer it to
Is this what it's like listening to me?
Anyway, they just crashed it. They did not green light it, so therefore it didn't get on the big screen. But it would have been a great movie had they done it.
Drinking out of a fire hose. Excellent. You have answered every question I ever had and questions that I never, ever, ever would have had.
But, I enjoyed it.
But Tim enjoyed it, and I am awed by your geeky Green Hornet knowledge, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And once again, I am absolutely delighted and tickled pink that you're on the air. Voted fan.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. You call us anytime.
You betcha.
All right. There you go. That's Kevin.
Where else can you hear about the Green Hornet?
Jesus damn. I mean, that was insane. All right. Well, Scotty J, make sure that we tell you and talk to these. We've got Lisa and Aaron, not the geek. So we'll take those. We got to we'll break. We'll come back. We'll talk briefly to Ed McCarthy. But I want to get these calls when we get back. There's some great calls here. All right. So we got Aaron and Lisa coming up, as well as Ted and your calls, etc. That was really just the greatest segment ever. It's 503-733-2973. Rick Emerson Show back after this.